presentation. It's by Kathleen Mazur. She's an associate professor of medicine at the University of Massachusetts Medical School and associate and assistant director for the Myers Primary Care Institute. Her research interests include physician-patient communication, health literacy, and disclosure of medical errors. Much of her work focuses on describing the patient perspective on health communication and investigating the impact of alternative strategies for communicating health-related information. She'll present today on health literacy with respect to spoken information in the medical encounter. Dr. Mazur.
Thank you, and I have to start out by acknowledging my fabulous group of co-authors and team members, one of whom is among you in the back there, Dr. Bridget Gaglia. So this study was funded by the National Cancer Institute as a core project of the Cancer Research Network, and I have to do a two-second plug for the Cancer Research Network. We recently received a fourth round of funding for infrastructure, and we're actively looking to enlarge our collaborations with folks who are interested in doing research in cancer communication and decision-making. So if you're interested in that, I have some flyers, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that. But the background for this particular study that I'm going to talk about today is some work we did in the last round of the CRN. And again, I think it's very consistent with the earlier studies. We're using basically the same starting point in terms of our definition. And what we've really focused on is understanding of health information, and particularly spoken health information is what I'm going to focus on today. That's only one slice of health literacy, but we think it's a very important slice. And until now, we feel that it's been pretty much understudied. That's really changing, not just our work, but others. A number of other people are starting to look at orally transmitted health information. And as you can know from your own experience, that's really important in clinical encounters when people talk with their physicians. And for many people, including a lot of people who have difficulty with written information, physicians are a really important, a really trusted source of health information. And so we wanted to really dig down into that and to start to do some research. What I'm going to talk about today is this one portion of our work, which focuses on examining the question, to what extent is oral health literacy related to how people respond to physician consultation? Here we're using simulated clinical encounters, and we're looking at knowledge, understanding, attitudes, and behavioral intent. And so this study is set in this larger study that I mentioned, and we started out by developing this test called the CMLT listening. I'm going to talk just a little bit about that. And we had the people who had participated in our first study, we invited a number of them to come back again and to do another encounter with us, to have another study session. And in the second study session, which is where we're focusing today, we played three audio vignettes for them. One of the, and they were simulated physician-patient encounters, and one of them focused on PSA testing for prostate cancer screening. One of them focused on tamoxifen for breast cancer prevention. And the third one focused on colorectal cancer screening, colonoscopy or FOBT. And after they listened to, these were one-on-one study sessions with a trained interviewer, and after they listened to one of these encounters, the interviewer asked them some questions trying to get at their understanding of what they had just heard, what their attitudes were, if that had been, phrasing it like, imagine that were you in that encounter, what would you be thinking, and what would you do? Would you be likely to have PSA testing, et cetera? So the test that we're using to assess, if you want to call it oral health literacy, we call it the cancer message literacy test. And as I said, we focus on comprehension of spoken health messages. And when we developed this test, we wrote 45 items, and they were each tied to brief video vignettes. And there were two kinds of vignettes. Some of them focused on, again, clinical encounters. These were videos. So we had a physician talking with a patient, and the test taker would watch that video and then answer some questions. And we also had things like extracts of Katie Couric talking to somebody about colonoscopy or different little brief news blips that we pulled. And we used something called the sentence verification technique to create the items. And we administered this test to about 1,000 adults aged 40 to 71. And we did some reliability and validity studies on this just briefly. Alpha's about 0.84. And the validity studies that we did convince us that we had a good score and a good measure. And so what, just briefly, what this is like, so you'd listen to Ernie Hawk explaining a colonoscopy, and then we would basically have our item writers take, well, instead of Ernie Hawk, let's talk about HPV. So overall HPV prevalence is thus and such, and that means one in four women are infected with HPV. And so you could paraphrase that and say basically the same thing in other words, or you could write something that sounded about the same, but it meant something different. And so those are two ways we would potentially write items. And then we would ask people, is the meaning of what you just heard the same or different as what was in the original encounter? And so that's what the CMLT listening is. It takes about an hour to administer. So we realize that's a downside. So we had scores on all these people that came back for our current study. And when they came back to us this time, we asked them a number of questions. And as I said, we played these vignettes. So here's a sample of the text. And my colleague said, it would be much better if you could play this for people, but I wasn't brave enough. So this is a conversation between a doctor. And the gist of it is, this is just a very brief part of it, but that the doctor is saying, you know, there's pros and cons. And PSA testing is not necessarily a good thing. That's the bottom line message. I talk about kind of some of the things that basically kind of the cascade effect if you end up with a positive result. And after each of those vignettes, as I mentioned, we asked them some questions. Here are some examples of the closed-ended questions we asked. So for men at average risk of prostate cancer, regular PSA testing reduces their chances of dying from prostate cancer. Is that true, false, or are you not sure? And then we asked them whether their views had changed, not for tamoxifen, because so many people were unfamiliar with tamoxifen for breast cancer prevention. So they didn't really have pre-existing views. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the results. We had in this return sample 438 adults. They were from Georgia, Hawaii, and Massachusetts, three CRN sites. They were predominantly white, but we also had African-American, Asian, Pacific Islander, and Hawaiian participants, as well as some other races and ethnicities. They were relatively educated. These were all insured people because we had recruited them from our healthcare organization, so they all had some insurance coverage, so many of them were employed. And as I said, they were all at least age 40. About half of them were over age 60. More than half of them were female, and a number of them, 60%, were working for pay. So we did find associations between our CMLT listening scores and these post-vignette knowledge scores. And when I say that, post-vignette knowledge scores, I mean those closed-ended questions we asked after each of the vignettes. And if we took the total of those and correlated it with the total CMLT listening score, we have a correlation of 0.62. And one thing I should mention, actually, these sessions where we administered the CMLT listening were about a year and a half before we had the second round of sessions. So I think that's particularly interesting there. When we did the first round of sessions, we also asked people a question and asked them to agree or disagree with, I have a hard time understanding when people speak quickly. And we found that to be pretty highly correlated. Well, we found that to be associated with the CMLT listening score. And again, you see it's also associated with these post-vignette knowledge scores in the current study. So I'm going to show you quickly some graphs that show some of our main findings here. And in all of these graphs, the light blue is those who scored in the lowest quartile of the CMLT listening, and the pinkish-orangish scores are those who scored in the top, any of the top three percentiles. It's kind of an arbitrary cutoff, but we found it to be useful. And so you can see on this slide that we do have differences in scores for each of the three vignettes that I mentioned. And this is looking at, just wanted to give you a snapshot. We're still working on the responses to the open-ended questions, but what you see here are differences. We said, if you were to explain this to somebody else, what would you say? How would you summarize the doctor's main point? So kind of a parallel to the teach-back approach, and we're still working on those, but here we've categorized people as to whether or not they provided any information. They kind of said something that wasn't even covered in the vignette, so they're kind of not talking about the main points. Or if they give some information and it's inaccurate. And again, you see differences as people try to paraphrase. Those who score lower on CMLT listening also do more provide more inaccurate information or kind of talk more off topic. Here's attitudes towards colorectal cancer screening after the vignette. The lower quartile people say that they're more likely to be more in favor, and there's less of a change in views for the higher listening people. This, I think, is particularly interesting. This is attitudes towards PSA testing. So the lower scoring people tend to say that they're more in favor of PSA testing. And we don't have time to do the full vignette, but there's really not a lot that would, there's really a lot of information about the problems that one can have after PSA testing and the significant and long-term side effects of surgery and radiation. So that's a little bit surprising. Colonoscopy, we see less of an effect, and that's not surprising because that vignette's just kind of talking about you could do this or you could do that. And here for PSA testing, again, there's a tendency for the lower health literacy people, and this is, again, spoken health literacy, to say, yeah, I would get PSA testing, and that's still the majority of the higher health literacy people say that they would, but it's a smaller majority. And similarly, I think the lower health literacy people are more likely to say, yes, I would accept the tamoxifen for breast cancer prevention. So this study, as I'm sure you're already thinking, has some limitations. We use simulated rather than actual encounters. I think it's appropriate here because we're at a very early stage of trying to understand what people actually do understand. And we also had to measure behavioral intent rather than actual behavior. And our sample was all relatively educated and they were all insured. But I think the fact that we're finding differences even in this population is interesting and highlights, again, the importance of health literacy with respect to spoken information. Just to reiterate some of the points that I made, we found that lower oral health literacy, if we want to call it that, was associated with lower levels of knowledge and understanding in these vignettes, with more favorable attitudes towards PSA testing, and more likelihood of saying, yes, I would have PSA testing or take tamoxifen for breast cancer prevention. And what we don't know is kind of how is that happening? Why is that happening? And wonder whether just the fact that the physician is bringing up this information, people are taking that as kind of an endorsement. Like, why would you even bring this up if you're just telling me the pros and cons? Isn't the fact that you're bringing it up saying that you're probably in favor of it? So I just want to briefly share a couple of the quotes that we got. And as I said, we're still looking at the open-ended responses. But you can see here, these are quotes from the people who scored in the lowest quartile of the health literacy, that they're not really understanding because for the colorectal cancer screening, the physician isn't coming down on one side or the other, not saying do this or do that. But people are hearing do this. Somebody else is hearing do that. Tamoxifen for prevention. Well, the doctor's saying if your mother had breast cancer, he's recommending that you try to take it. We really tried to, and I think we did, make these vignettes so that they weren't coming down and recommending one or the other. It was really trying to do informed decision making. And then the other, tamoxifen, if you take it, it gives you only a 2% chance of not getting breast cancer, which is obviously not true. Then people sometimes said things that were totally the doctor never said. The doctor stressed that living a healthy lifestyle is a sure way of preventing cancer. So they know it's about preventing cancer, but they're pulling in what they think about it. They're not absorbing what the physician said. PSA testing. Main point is to take the blood test, kind of will provide some answers whether you've got cancer or not, but it doesn't really tell you anything. So, I mean, and the doctor does say, well, we don't really know, you can get it, and it's not really going to predict whether you're going to develop a bad cancer, but they're missing some of it. So I do want to kind of highlight that the ability to understand spoken information is an important component of health literacy. It's obviously not the only important component, but it really is important. And if you think about all the information about health that you get via of health literacy. It's obviously not the only important on receptive spoken information. A whole other area that we haven't looked at is what about people's ability to ask questions and to formulate, communicate about health literacy in expressive communication. We think understanding is particularly important in informed decision making, and that poor understanding of spoken health information could be one of the mechanisms underlying some health disparities. We did have a couple of publications if you're interested in the same LT listening, and I would be happy to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.